Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I think the Social Security Administration is trying to do the same thing. I think they are, because they just published their COLA raise that they're going to provide everybody who receives Social Security. Yes, COLAs, which are an acronym for cost of living adjustment, COLAs are applied to Social Security payments based on what has happened in the Consumer Price Index. So what that means is that Social Security measured from the third quarter of 2020 all the way through the third quarter of 2021, and they determined that there is inflation. And as a result of inflationary pressures on the economy, Social Security is going to step up and they're going to raise everybody's payments by 5.9%. That's a 5.9% raise that's going to happen in the future to cover costs that you're already incurring. Now, to help me unravel this, I've asked Lee Reeves to come on and join me for a minute. Now, Lee is a recovering real estate attorney. He is a full-blown investor in real estate. He owns a lot of apartment units, and he teaches our members how to do this. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show. And, you know, are you just jumping for joy over the fact that people are getting a 5.9% raise in Social Security?
You know, isn't that insane? I mean, and thanks for having me on, Al. I heard that figure and thought, wow, that's a really big number for not having any inflation at all. That's what we've been told for a long time.
Yeah, no
but
kidding,
at
huh?
At the end of the day, I mean, like, it's a big number, but it's not a big actual number when it comes down to dollars. And that's the thing that's just kind of mind-boggling about the whole thing. And look, if you're counting on Social Security as your retirement, I have a different plan for you, and I'd like to tell you about it.
Yeah, they need to hear it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So in all seriousness, if you want to check out one of the free workshops that Lifestyles Unlimited provides, we've got a few coming up, and I need to tell you about these dates. And you can always go to lifestylesunlimited.com to check the date that works best for you. But they are conducted virtually. We've got one on Friday, October 15th, and on Tuesday, October 19th at 6:30 at night, and Thursday, October 21st at 8:30 at night. So there is a date and time that works for you. And what you'll learn at one of those free workshops is the five ways that we make money in real estate. And you can see how the numbers really work in single family and in multifamily. It is a perfect place for you to start. And then we also have a case study coming up. And these are real live people that present the property that they bought, and they answer questions, and they'll answer your questions. That's in Houston, but it's in person and online on Thursday, November 4th at 6 p.m. So take note of that. And Al, I don't want to get too off topic, but can I tell you about the seminars we have coming up?
Yes, please do.
Awesome, because this is where everybody who's a member of Lifestyles Unlimited starts. We have two-day financial freedom seminars. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. And we have pioneered over the last year a four-part evening version of that. I will be teaching the one coming up in November, starts on November 9th. But we've got a two-day in-person and online October 16th and 17th. That's this coming weekend. That's in Central Texas. And then we actually have a live two-day in Jacksonville, Florida on October 23rd and 24th. To access that, go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. The promo code is DEL, D-E-L. And you'll get a discounted price on that LM seminar, but that's where everybody starts. And at the end of that seminar, you will know how to purchase and find a single-family property and how to do the same thing in small multifamily. And we've got a lot else going on, but I don't want to take up too much time. I just want to note, look, it's fall. The leaves are turning colors. But every season is a great season to get started in real estate. And it's time to learn how to retire yourself from corporate America. And there's multiple dates this month to start your real estate journey. So don't put it off.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think there are people out there that are kind of kicking themselves when they were sitting at home during the coronavirus event and they were playing video games or they were watching, you know, big shows and things. And they could have been focused on the information that you provide and they could already be changing their lives now.
Absolutely. And, you know, when this pandemic started last year, about 3 months in, I noticed all these people on social media going, you know what? I chose to use that time to lose weight. And I thought, man, that did not even occur to me. So I started right after that, and I'm down 65 pounds now. I mean, you know, it's the same thing in real estate. Other people started earlier. Great. They've charted the way. They've shown you it's possible. Now it's time for you to step up.
Well, you've had a pretty good journey yourself. I mean, you own multiple multifamily apartment communities. I mean, how's that going for you? I mean, with the coronavirus and everything being what it is, are you seeing potential in the future for your apartments?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Al, I just put on my Facebook page the other day a screenshot of my management software. We hit 100% occupancy at one of my apartments, and then 100% pre-leased for the next 3 months after that. So,
Wow. Yeah,
I'd say we're doing just fine in this market.
Yeah, Dell would probably tell you your rents are too low, right?
Yeah, so that's what other lead investors weighed in on. Yeah,
do they
need to bump your rents? And they're right, and we are. But it's a great position to be in.
Well, at the end of the day, everything that we do in the multifamily space is focused on addressing that net operating income number. And I think that as we go forward over time, as we see some of these inflationary pressures that are occurring, that's actually going to benefit us.
It is. Absolutely it is.
It's going to be a good thing. Hey, Lee, I want to thank you for coming on the show today and sharing that information. And, you know, one of these days, I'm just going to keep you on for the whole show because you are a wealth of information. But I know that you need to get back to doing what you're doing. And when we come back from the break, we're going to tackle Social Security. Stick around.
The other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments, too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right. 5.9% raise for Social Security recipients. That's what the government's doing. And they're doing this based on the fact that when they studied the consumer price index that went from the period of the third quarter of 2020 all the way through the third quarter of 2021, the government determined that there is inflation occurring in this country. Even though Lee pointed out, we're being told, no, there's no inflation. Well, apparently there is, because the Social Security Administration does not adjust numbers upwards. They don't give people raises just because they want to feel good about it. That's not why they do it. They do it based on what the law says that they must do. And the law says they must study the CPI index. And based on what that index does, they must affect the Social Security rate. So as a result of that, Social Security is going up 5.9%. Now, don't start, you know, dancing in the streets and jumping for joy, because when you really break down what is that worth to the average Social Security recipient? Well, according to the Social Security fact sheet, this is something they publish, they said that the average Social Security retired worker receives a monthly benefit of $1,565. With that 5.9% COLA, by the way, which doesn't kick in until January. Okay, so even though we know that inflation is going on right now, the government has studied it. They have determined that there was a average inflation rate of 5.9% in this country, and you endured that. You're not going to get the additional money, which, by the way, is only about $92 for the average Social Security recipient. You're not going to get the benefit of that money until January. So you need to go an entire quarter dealing with inflation until you start getting the money that's supposed to help you deal with inflation. Do you see how you're already behind the power curve? Do you see how the way Social Security is set up? Everything always happens based on past events. And even if there's a benefit to the recipient, that benefit doesn't show up until sometime in the future. And to be honest with you, there's a huge period of time where that beneficiary has been dealing with rising prices, but the government hasn't stepped in to make that good. And by the time they get around to stepping up and giving you your 5.9% COLA increase, you will have already endured the inflationary pressures. As a matter of fact, if you are paying attention, I believe that this country is attempting to get into the same miserable place it was at in the 1970s when inflation was kind of out of control in this country. And I'm hoping that we don't go there, because that is going to be a real shocker to a lot of Americans. I mean, inflation has been pretty normal. If you look at what Social Security has done as far as, you know, bumping rates over the years, they haven't done it a lot. I think I read somewhere in an AP report that the average Social Security bump was something like, I don't know, 1.6, 1.7%, which is indicative of very low inflation. And with inflation going up, the cost of goods and services is also rising. And when you look at fuel costs, just take a look at what you're paying at the pump today. It's a significant increase, isn't it? And you may or may not be driving as much as you used to, but I will tell you this. There are a lot of entities out there that ship your goods and services to you, and they consume fuel. So the cost of getting you those goods and services, as well as the cost of getting the materials to the location where they make the goods and services, you know where I'm going with all this, everything's going to go up. And let's talk a little bit about minimum wage. Minimum wage. Oh, man. I remember I used to make like $3.05 an hour a minimum wage. Yeah, I used to work fast food when I was in high school, because it's really a job that's designed to help you, you know, go do a job and earn some money. It wasn't really designed to be a living wage. It was designed to give me some extra money, and that money pretty much paid for the car that I had so that I had transportation. I mean, that's pretty much what it boiled down to. I traded time for money so that I could have a car so that I could go do things that I couldn't do when I was just on a bicycle or on foot. And now we're looking at the government believing that minimum wage should be $15 an hour across the board. There are some places in this country that have already taken the initiative to increase minimum wage to $15, even though I believe the federal minimum wage is still like $7.50. But if you think about what that does to a business, if you have an employee that you're paying $7.50 an hour to, and they're doing their job effectively and efficiently, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and therefore they're earning that wage. Now, all of a sudden, the government says, well, that employee is twice as valuable to you. And you have to sit back and go, well, are they doing twice as much work? Because they're not. But all of a sudden, the government now is artificially telling you you have to double their wages. So how do you do that? Well, you do what the government says you have to do. But then the cost associated with those increased wages has to be made up somewhere. And what that means is that prices will go up. I don't know if you've noticed it, but the cost of getting that fast food combo meal is a lot more expensive today than it was just a couple of years ago. And that is an indication that costs are being driven up. Prices are being driven up. And that is also affecting the real estate industry. It is affecting the real estate industry because there are costs for materials that are going up. Things like gypsum, things like aluminum. Yes, you believe it or not, a lot of our appliances that we put in our properties have aluminum in them. Those costs have been going up. Therefore, it costs me more money to buy the items that I need to put into my rental properties. And unfortunately, taxes have been going up. I don't know if you've noticed that also, but municipalities charge property taxes based on valuations, and they reassess those valuations usually annually. And as a result of that, the price of the real estate tax goes up, even though the services may not be any better. Okay, so I've kind of given you my diarrhea of the mouth with regards to how the government does stuff. When we come back from the break, let's talk about practical information that you can actually use. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, let's get into what's going on in the markets, because I've got a lot of data I need to share with you, and it's information you can use. Yeah, information you can use. And if we compare this information to the information I gave you earlier about what's going on in Social Security, it all kind of blends together, because this information that I'm about to share with you is absolutely relevant to your success as a real estate investor. Yeah, there's no other way to say it. GlobeStreet.com. They published an article where they flat out say, we are bullish on apartments heading into 2021, but the magnitude of the demand boom is far beyond even the most optimistic forecast. Do you know what that means? It means there's a lot of money that is about to be made by investing in apartment communities. I think there's kind of a perfect storm going on. And if you own an apartment community right now, you are potentially positioned to affect your net operating income in a very positive way. That net operating income, by the way, is what determines the value of your property based on whatever cap rate is associated with your asset. So if we can keep improving that net operating income, what happens is the value of our properties go up. And this is a very good thing. Here's another piece of information that you want to hear. Apartment vacancies. In other words, let's say you own a 100-unit apartment community. Now, you're going to have something called a vacancy rate because there are people that move out and you might need to go in and do a little work on that unit to get it ready for the next resident that moves in. Totally fine. I mean, we do that day in and day out in the apartment industry. But here's the thing. Apartment vacancies hit another, and this isn't the first one, this is another historic low in September, declining to 2.7% for the fourth consecutive month of record-breaking lows. That means for a 100-unit apartment community, you would only have 2.7 units vacant at any time. Okay, let's round it up and call three. That's really good. I mean, Lee was on and he mentioned his apartment buildings right now are at 100% occupancy. And of course, I chimed in. I said, well, Dell would tell you your rents are too low. And he said, yeah, and that's what all the lead investors that I talked to told me. Yeah, but you can't just go arbitrarily in there and go, you know, hey, I'm going to raise your rent, because you have a lease agreement with people. You agreed to pricing up front, and you're going to fulfill that obligation. Now, when the lease comes due at the end of 12 months, you have a decision to make. You either contact the residents and ask them if they would like to stay. If they don't want to stay, that's fine. But if they want to stay, what do? Do you increase the rents? Do you leave the rents alone? Well, it depends. It depends. I mean, there's no perfect answer. But I would tell you this. If the cost of that unit is higher and your residents know that if they were to leave that unit and go find another place, they would probably pay a higher rent, you've got some room to negotiate. You do have some room to negotiate, but that's a personal business decision. If the residents decide they're going to leave, we're not going to re-sign the lease, our lives have taken a different turn, we're going to go do something else, and they leave your property, and you prep it for the next resident, you have a great opportunity to adjust the rent to whatever the market rents are. And that's a beautiful thing. And here's another piece of data that I think is just really going to blow your socks off. New lease demand in the year ending September 2021. So basically what they're saying is the from September 2021, the trailing 12 months, also increased, get this, 50.5%. Yeah, you heard me. In other words, for every two people that normally would be demanding a
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I think the Social Security Administration is trying to do the same thing. I think they are, because they just published their COLA raise that they're going to provide everybody who receives Social Security. Yes, COLAs, which are an acronym for cost of living adjustment, COLAs are applied to Social Security payments based on what has happened in the Consumer Price Index. So what that means is that Social Security measured from the third quarter of 2020 all the way through the third quarter of 2021, and they determined that there is inflation. And as a result of inflationary pressures on the economy, Social Security is going to step up and they're going to raise everybody's payments by 5.9%. That's a 5.9% raise that's going to happen in the future to cover costs that you're already incurring. Now, to help me unravel this, I've asked Lee Reeves to come on and join me for a minute. Now, Lee is a recovering real estate attorney. He is a full-blown investor in real estate. He owns a lot of apartment units, and he teaches our members how to do this. Hey, Lee, welcome to the show. And, you know, are you just jumping for joy over the fact that people are getting a 5.9% raise in Social Security?
You know, isn't that insane? I mean, and thanks for having me on, Al. I heard that figure and thought, wow, that's a really big number for not having any inflation at all. That's what we've been told for a long time.
Yeah, no
but
kidding,
at
huh?
At the end of the day, I mean, like, it's a big number, but it's not a big actual number when it comes down to dollars. And that's the thing that's just kind of mind-boggling about the whole thing. And look, if you're counting on Social Security as your retirement, I have a different plan for you, and I'd like to tell you about it.
Yeah, they need to hear it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So in all seriousness, if you want to check out one of the free workshops that Lifestyles Unlimited provides, we've got a few coming up, and I need to tell you about these dates. And you can always go to lifestylesunlimited.com to check the date that works best for you. But they are conducted virtually. We've got one on Friday, October 15th, and on Tuesday, October 19th at 6:30 at night, and Thursday, October 21st at 8:30 at night. So there is a date and time that works for you. And what you'll learn at one of those free workshops is the five ways that we make money in real estate. And you can see how the numbers really work in single family and in multifamily. It is a perfect place for you to start. And then we also have a case study coming up. And these are real live people that present the property that they bought, and they answer questions, and they'll answer your questions. That's in Houston, but it's in person and online on Thursday, November 4th at 6 p.m. So take note of that. And Al, I don't want to get too off topic, but can I tell you about the seminars we have coming up?
Yes, please do.
Awesome, because this is where everybody who's a member of Lifestyles Unlimited starts. We have two-day financial freedom seminars. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. And we have pioneered over the last year a four-part evening version of that. I will be teaching the one coming up in November, starts on November 9th. But we've got a two-day in-person and online October 16th and 17th. That's this coming weekend. That's in Central Texas. And then we actually have a live two-day in Jacksonville, Florida on October 23rd and 24th. To access that, go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. The promo code is DEL, D-E-L. And you'll get a discounted price on that LN seminar, but that's where everybody starts. And at the end of that seminar, you will know how to purchase and find a single-family property and how to do the same thing in small multifamily. And we've got a lot else going on, but I don't want to take up too much time. I just want to note, look, it's fall. The leaves are turning colors. Every season is a great season to get started in real estate, and it's time to learn how to retire yourself from corporate America. And there's multiple dates this month to start your real estate journey, so don't put it off.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think there are people out there that are kind of kicking themselves when they were sitting at home during the coronavirus event, and they were playing video games, or they were watching, you know, big shows and things, and they could have been focused on the information that you provide, and they could already be changing their lives now.
Absolutely. And, you know, when this pandemic started last year, about 3 months in, I noticed all these people on social media going, you know what, I chose to use that time to lose weight. And I thought, man, that did not even occur to me. So I started right after that, and I'm down 65 pounds now. I mean, you know, it's the same thing in real estate. Other people started earlier. Great. They've charted the way. They've shown you it's possible. Now it's time for you to step up.
Well, you've had a pretty good journey yourself. I mean, you own multiple multifamily apartment communities. I mean, how's that going for you? I mean, with the coronavirus and everything being what it is, are you seeing potential in the future for your apartments?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Al, I just put on my Facebook page the other day a screenshot of my management software. We hit 100% occupancy at one of my apartments, and then 100% pre-leased for the next 3 months after that. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'd say we're doing just fine in this market.
Yeah, Dell would probably tell you your rents are too low, right?
Yeah, so that's what other lead investors weighed in on. Yeah,
do they
need to bump your rents? And they're right, and we are. But it's a great position to be in.
Well, at the end of the day, everything that we do in the multifamily space is focused on addressing that net operating income number. And I think that as we go forward over time, as we see some of these inflationary pressures that are occurring, that's actually going to benefit us.
It is. Absolutely it is.
It's going to be a good thing. Hey, Lee, I want to thank you for coming on the show today and sharing that information. And, you know, one of these days, I'm just going to keep you on for the whole show because you are a wealth of information. But I know that you need to get back to doing what you're doing. And when we come back from the break, we're going to tackle Social Security. Stick around.
The other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments, too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right. 5.9% raise for Social Security recipients. That's what the government's doing. And they're doing this based on the fact that when they studied the consumer price index that went from the period of the third quarter of 2020 all the way through the third quarter of 2021, the government determined that there is inflation occurring in this country. Even though Lee pointed out, we're being told, no, there's no inflation. Well, apparently there is, because the Social Security Administration does not adjust numbers upwards. They don't give people raises just because they want to feel good about it. That's not why they do it. They do it based on what the law says that they must do. And the law says they must study the CPI index. And based on what that index does, they must affect the Social Security rate. So as a result of that, Social Security is going up 5.9%. Now don't start, you know, dancing in the streets and jumping for joy, because when you really break down what is that worth to the average Social Security recipient, well, according to the Social Security fact sheet, this is something they publish, they said that the average Social Security retired worker receives a monthly benefit of $1,565. With that 5.9% COLA, by the way, which doesn't kick in until January. Okay, so even though we know that inflation is going on right now, the government has studied it. They have determined that there was a average inflation rate of 5.9% in this country, and you endured that. You're not going to get the additional money, which, by the way, is only about $92 for the average Social Security recipient. You're not going to get the benefit of that money until January. So you need to go an entire quarter dealing with inflation until you start getting the money that's supposed to help you deal with inflation. Do you see how you're already behind the power curve? Do you see how the way Social Security is set up? Everything always happens based on past events. And even if there's a benefit to the recipient, that benefit doesn't show up until sometime in the future. And to be honest with you, there's a huge period of time where that beneficiary has been dealing with rising prices, but the government hasn't stepped in to make that good. And by the time they get around to stepping up and giving you your 5.9% COLA increase, you will have already endured the inflationary pressures. As a matter of fact, if you are paying attention, I believe that this country is attempting to get into the same miserable place it was at in the 1970s when inflation was kind of out of control in this country. And I'm hoping that we don't go there, because that is going to be a real shocker to a lot of Americans. I mean, inflation has been pretty normal. If you look at what Social Security has done as far as, you know, bumping rates over the years, they haven't done it a lot. I think I read somewhere in an AP report that the average Social Security bump was something like, I don't know, 1.6, 1.7%, which is indicative of very low inflation. And with inflation going up, the cost of goods and services is also rising. And when you look at fuel costs, just take a look at what you're paying at the pump today. It's a significant increase, isn't it? And you may or may not be driving as much as you used to, but I will tell you this. There are a lot of entities out there that ship your goods and services to you, and they consume fuel. So the cost of getting you those goods and services, as well as the cost of getting the materials to the location where they make the goods and services, you know where I'm going with all this, everything's going to go up. And let's talk a little bit about minimum wage. Minimum wage. Oh, man. I remember I used to make like $3.05 an hour a minimum wage. Yeah, I used to work fast food when I was in high school, because it's really a job that's designed to help you, you know, go do a job and earn some money. It wasn't really designed to be a living wage. It was designed to give me some extra money, and that money pretty much paid for the car that I had so that I had transportation. I mean, that's pretty much what it boiled down to. I traded time for money so that I could have a car so that I could go do things that I couldn't do when I was just on a bicycle or on foot. And now we're looking at the government believing that minimum wage should be $15 an hour across the board. There are some places in this country that have already taken the initiative to increase minimum wage to $15, even though I believe the federal minimum wage is still like $7.50. But if you think about what that does to a business, if you have an employee that you're paying $7.50 an hour to, and they're doing their job effectively and efficiently, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and therefore they're earning that wage. Now, all of a sudden, the government says, well, that employee is twice as valuable to you. And you have to sit back and go, well, are they doing twice as much work? Because they're not. But all of a sudden, the government now is artificially telling you have to double their wages. So how do you do that? Well, you do what the government says you have to do. But then the cost associated with those increased wages has to be made up somewhere. And what that means is that prices will go up. I don't know if you've noticed it, but the cost of getting that fast food combo meal is a lot more expensive today than it was just a couple of years ago. And that is an indication that costs are being driven up. Prices are being driven up. And that is also affecting the real estate industry. It is affecting the real estate industry because there are costs for materials that are going up. Things like gypsum, things like aluminum. Yes, you believe it or not, a lot of our appliances that we put in our properties have aluminum in them. Those costs have been going up. Therefore, it costs me more money to buy the items that I need to put into my rental properties. And unfortunately, taxes have been going up. I don't know if you've noticed that also, but municipalities charge property taxes based on valuations, and they reassess those valuations usually annually. And as a result of that, the price of the real estate tax goes up, even though the services may not be any better. Okay, so I've kind of given you my diarrhea of the mouth with regards to how the government does stuff. When we come back from the break, let's talk about practical information that you can actually use. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, let's get into what's going on in the markets, because I've got a lot of data I need to share with you, and it's information you can use. Yeah, information you can use. And if we compare this information to the information I gave you earlier about what's going on in Social Security, it all kind of blends together, because this information that I'm about to share with you is absolutely relevant to your success as a real estate investor. Yeah, there's no other way to say it. GlobeStreet.com. They published an article where they flat out say, we are bullish on apartments heading into 2021, but the magnitude of the demand boom is far beyond even the most optimistic forecast. Do you know what that means? It means there's a lot of money that is about to be made by investing in apartment communities. I think there's kind of a perfect storm going on. And if you own an apartment community right now, you are potentially positioned to affect your net operating income in a very positive way. That net operating income, by the way, is what determines the value of your property based on whatever cap rate is associated with your asset. So if we can keep improving that net operating income, what happens is the value of our properties go up. And this is a very good thing. Here's another piece of information that you want to hear. Apartment vacancies. In other words, let's say you own a 100-unit apartment community. Now, you're going to have something called a vacancy rate, because there are people that move out and you might need to go in and do a little work on that unit to get it ready for the next resident that moves in. Totally fine. And that's, we do that day in and day out in the apartment industry. But here's the thing. Apartment vacancies hit another, and this isn't the first one, this is another historic low in September, declining to 2.7% for the fourth consecutive month of record-breaking lows. That means for a 100-unit apartment community, you would only have 2.7 units vacant at any time. Okay, let's round it up and call three. That's really good. I mean, Lee was on and he mentioned his apartment buildings right now are at 100% occupancy. And of course, I chimed in. I said, well, Dell would tell you your rents are too low. And he said, yeah, and that's what all the lead investors that I talked to told me. Yeah, but you can't just go arbitrarily in there and go, you know, hey, I'm going to raise your rent, because you have a lease agreement with people. You agreed to pricing up front, and you're going to fulfill that obligation. Now, when the lease comes due at the end of 12 months, you have a decision to make. You either contact the residents and ask them if they would like to stay. If they don't want to stay, that's fine. But if they want to stay, what do? Do you increase the rents? Do you leave the rents alone? Well, it depends. It depends. I mean, there's no perfect answer. But I would tell you this. If the cost of that unit is higher and your residents know that if they were to leave that unit and go find another place, they would probably pay a higher rent, you've got some room to negotiate. You do have some room to negotiate, but that's a personal business decision. If the residents decide they're going to leave, we're not going to re-sign the lease, our lives have taken a different turn, we're going to go do something else, and they leave your property, and you prep it for the next resident, you have a great opportunity to adjust the rent to whatever the market rents are. And that's a beautiful thing. And here's another piece of data that I think is just really going to blow your socks off. New lease demand in the year ending September 2021. So basically what they're saying is the from September 2021, the trailing 12 months, also increased, get this, 50.5%. Yeah, you heard me. In other words, for every two people that normally would be demanding a unit, now it's three. That's really what that means. And apartment resident retention surging to 58%. Those are people that say, look, I just don't want to move. I want to stay here. If the rent goes up, I understand. Things are going up. I understand. I'll pay the increased rent. Now, that data came from RealPage, and they did a pretty good job sourcing that data. I could just hit you with all these stats that I've pulled up, but I think the important thing that you need to understand is that the rental housing market is very, very strong. It is very strong right now. And part of that has to do with some of the constraints that the government put on the housing industry during the coronavirus pandemic. I get that. I mean, you know, people did move. I mean, I saw moving trucks everywhere in this country. I moved about the country when we were in the lockdown. I mean, I'm an American. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, right? And that was a good thing. But a lot of other people, they were like, no, man, I'm hunkering down. I'm not going anywhere. There is a shortage of available housing in many of our metropolitan areas in this country. Yeah, there is a shortage of desirable housing. And it's not just housing people would buy to live in. It's a shortage of clean, functional places to live. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the growth trends that are going on in this country, you can see that there were people that left the left coast and they left the right coast and they came to the center of the country. And as a result of that, I'll just talk about Texas. Texas is seeing significant growth. We are seeing significant growth. There are more people coming to the major Texas cities than ever before. And as a result of that, we just don't have the housing available. I mean, I will tell you that the new construction industry, I mean, they're blown and going. They really are. They're doing the best that they can to come up with inventory. But with new construction, it takes time. And there are a lot of things that have to be dealt with through the entitlement process and through the actual process of developing the land and building the assets on it. It takes time. when we look at the existing housing stock, there is housing stock out there that could be utilized and made available to other people. But some of that housing stock, it's tired. It's worn out. It's not in its peak condition. And people like me look at those types of assets and we go, well, there's opportunity there. Because if you have an asset that people don't desire, but you can turn that asset around, you can make that asset something that people enjoy living in, you have created something for the marketplace that wasn't there before. And it had nothing to do with new construction. And I will tell you this, when you buy existing properties and you don't go the new construction route, you can actually get through everything a lot faster because you're not rebuilding everything. We come back from the break. I got some more stats. Really, these are some marvelous stats. Stick around.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so here's those stats that I was promising you, and I'll be honest with you, they're not good stats. I mean, they're effective stats. They paint the picture, but the picture they paint is not a beautiful painting. It is not a beautiful painting. MarketWatch makes this statement. They said some Americans rely on Social Security for most of their retirement income, instead of leaning on their own savings, any pensions, and the program's benefits. They go on to say that Social Security benefits made up 61% of retirement income for elderly beneficiaries. So 61% of their income is coming from Social Security. We're going to unpack that in a moment. A third relied on the program for 90% or more of their income, and that's according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Oh, and it gets worse. Americans are drastically undersaved for retirement. They use that term undersaved. Yeah, because the concept is retirement is a savings plan. It's a savings plan. And it's not. It's not. It's income streams. Retirement is income streams. That's what we got to get through your head. That's what you have to understand. And here's what MarketWatch is saying. They're saying that Americans are so drastically undersaved for retirement, many couples only have $5,000 set aside in their retirement plans. $5,000. How long is that going to last you in today's markets? Yeah, not good. Not good. So let's unpack these numbers a little bit. So if Social Security, let's say you're a person, let's just assume you might actually be this person, but let's just assume future you is here today. And everything you've done throughout your entire life up until now, which is your retirement date. Let's say you're 65 today. Happy birthday, by the way. Everything that you have done up to this point is done. You can't change it. You can't go back in time and modify anything. So as of now, you're 65, you're retired, and you're earning the average Social Security payment. So let's assume that's, well, I'll just go off the fact sheet. Before the 2022 COLA, you know, that big bump you're going to get, you're getting $1,565. When January hits, you're going to get that $92 increase. You're going to go up to $1,657. But think about it. If $1,657 represents 60% of your income, how much is your total income? Well, simple math tells me you're under $2,800. That's what you're living off of, $2,800. So now, I want you to take a comparison between future you, who turned 65 today, and real you, who's probably not 65 today, some other age. Chances are you're working your way towards being 65. How much is it costing you to live today just for your household? Yeah. Well, think about it. Are you spending more than $2,700 that, you know, MarketWatch says most people are living off of today? It's now think about it. What are you going to do to adjust your spending habits to get that number that you're spending to live every month in line with the number that future you at age 65 needs to be at? Do you see the dilemma? It's a huge dilemma in this country. And people get so darn focused on the here and now, trying to get what needs to be done right now accomplished. They lose sight of the bigger picture. They lose sight of their future. When you are primarily trading time for money, and maybe you've got a retirement account, maybe that's where that extra 40% of the money comes from. You have to be very concerned that there's enough money in that account to last for however long you're going to live. And we don't even know how long that is. You don't know how long you're going to live. I have no idea how long I'm going to live. There's no date tattooed on me that says expiration date. It's not there. It didn't come with the original packaging. I want to help you understand that there is such a superior way to doing whatever it is you're doing right now. And I'll tell you, if your ego is getting in the way, if your mind is telling you, hey man, I got this, I'm good. I got my financial planner, I got my gold, I got my silver bars over here, I got my this, I got my that, I'm good, I'm humming along. Okay, I get that. What are your rates of return? Yeah, I'm asking you a fair question. What are your rates of return? How much is that gold paying you every month? How much is that silver paying you every month? How much is that 401k paying you every month? Oh, my 401k is going up. Yeah, but it's not paying you. The money stays in the 401k. You're not allowed to touch it. And occasionally, they will let you touch it. But they're going to set the rules about how you access your money. Don't you understand that? I talked to a guy yesterday that's doing some work for me on one of my properties. And he mentioned that he has a 401k from a previous job. And I said, oh, what are you doing with that? And he goes, well, it's just kind of there. And I said, okay, how much is in it? And he said, well, I think there's about 100K in there. And I said, interesting, interesting. How old are you? Well, he wasn't 59 and a half. So what I was getting at is that 100K that's sitting there, we have vendors that can help him get that money out. Now, he's going to be liable for the taxes. We can't cause the government not to collect taxes on that money when it comes out. The government's going to get its share. But we do have vendors that can help him alleviate the 10% penalty. And a 10% penalty would be an additional $10,000, right? So if he's got 100 grand in there, and let's say he's got to pay 20% tax, I'm just using an easy number to work with, he'd have $80,000 in his hands that he could use to invest in apartments or single-family houses. He could get going buying real estate right now. Get that asset under contract. Get that asset renovated and up to speed and get it to the level where it's supposed to be. So that asset will command the best price in the market because there's massive demand out there, which is fueling increases in rental pricing. Yes, the market is at work. And now think about it. If this guy had $80,000 in his hot little hand, and I introduced him to Chad and Lisa, remember Chad and Lisa from last week? Chad and Lisa bought their first apartment community with $70,000. That's how they got started. $70,000 in their first apartment community. This guy's got 80. Do you think he could do the same thing Chad and Lisa did? And the short answer is, he absolutely can do the same thing because the assets are out there. We believe in an abundance mentality, meaning we're not going to run out of real estate to acquire. And even though people are concerned that there's a scarcity of product in the marketplace, okay, that's just the current condition. Let's wait 6 months and see what happens, because this stuff ultimately works itself out. And here's the final point I want to make to you. A 5.9% COLA increase is chump change. Chump change to the income streams that you can develop just by getting started with investing in real estate. And let's just say that guy I met yesterday bought just two single-family houses, and those two single-family houses produced $400 a month for him each and every month. At the end of the year, he will have amassed almost $10,000 in cash flow from that property that will be offset by the depreciation he is authorized and required by the IRS to take. That's $10,000 in his household over a year. And then if market forces cause rent prices to go up, chances are he's going to get even more money. And I'll tell you, that destroys a 5.9% raise on Social Security. You've got to get started, though. You got to do what Lee told you to do. You have to go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. When you get there, sign up for a free workshop. Let's get you educated, and let's get you moving forward.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.